For a few moments, I'd like to share with you some principles that will improve your communication. As a couple, as a family, as an individual. Number one, accent understanding, not talking. Now you see, in any form of communication, this is what you have. Here are two individuals desiring to communicate. Well, obviously, there is usually some form of talking. Unfortunately, most of us rely on that too heavily. Much more important than talking is listening. And my friend, that's why you have 2 ears but only one tongue. You got a little audiovisual aid in your body. Imagine if you reversed the process, had two of these things. See, James put it, slow to speak, swift to hear. And I really believe most of us would make better marriage partners if we were deaf and dumb. Because we rely so heavily upon this talking component, but very little on listening. I'm sorry, sweetheart. Run that by again. I really didn't hear it. I was distracted with the program, and I do want to hear it. I have tape recordings, videotape of sessions in family counseling in which kids are saying the most significant things in all of the world to parents, and they never hear a thing. And when I play it back to them, they think I've doctored the tape. Because nobody's listening. You see, I get a couple in my office, they're yelling at each other. And as the moments go by, the decibel level rises. And in order to jar them loose, I'll break right in the middle of it. Hold it, hold it. Did you hear what she said? No, what did you say? You better listen, man. And we start a process. I dare you to apply it. I say, all right, we're going to get some ground rules. I'm going to let you make one statement and one statement only. You cannot make a second statement until your partner repeats back to you, to your complete satisfaction, exactly what you said and what you meant by what you said. And after that, then I will allow you to make one statement and one statement only. You can't make a second statement until your partner repeats back to you, to your complete satisfaction, exactly what you meant, how you feel. Well, after an hour, we get two statements out. But we're also in the process of unclogging the communicational system. Because there's a third component, and that's understanding. You see, communication is a meeting of meaning. And this calls for tremendous understanding. Years ago, I ran across a prayer by Francis of Assisi, which said, Lord, grant that I may seek more to understand than to be understood. See, that's the name of the game in communication. Well, she just doesn't understand me. Well, I got news for you. That's not your primary assignment. How are you coming in your understanding of her? Or vice versa. Second, oh, watch this one. This is a Lulu. Develop common interest. You see, there's a basic principle in communication, and it's this. The greater the commonality, the greater the communication. The more you have in common as a couple, the more you are in the process of becoming one flesh. Let me diagram your life. Your marriage. Here's the husband, here's the wife. Kind of a dynamic What kind of a commonality factor do you have in your marriage? Well, that's determined by how much overlap and by what direction these circles are moving. If they are moving in this direction, then you are becoming one flesh. If they are moving in that direction, you are in the process of getting a divorce, even if you live together the rest of your life. We call it a psychological divorce. Two people who under no circumstances would ever go to court. They live in the same home, they even sleep in the same bed. But they have nothing in common. But I want to warn you, if you're really committed to this, there's a high price tag. I happen to be a football nut, and since I've been involved with the Dallas Cowboys, I've become even more neurotic. And when their games come on, I froth at the mouth and fairly need to be led away. This year, you know, next year. And so my dear wife, you know, she tries to get with it. And I take her to the game. Ah, another home run! Touchdown! Ah, what inning is it? Quarter. Well, for your information, today she's more of a nut than I am. And in the meantime, I become fascinated over such things as dishes, and needlepoint, and fabrics, you know, all kinds of exciting things, none of which I would enjoy more except leprosy. You know what this involves? This involves a process of getting into your partner's life to find out what interests him, what interests her. A third principle, sharpen your sensitivity quotient. Now, most of us are incredibly sensitive, but it's usually with respect to ourselves. And most insensitive with respect to our partner. You see, your task in life is to become a student of your partner. And over again I have men to say, well, you know, if I were married to a different woman, well, man, I got news for you. You're not. You're married to this woman. And that's your task in life, to become a specialist, an authority on that woman. What turns her on? What's she interested in? What are her goals? Where is she at? What are the problems that are kicking the slats out of her life? And the same is true of you as a woman. I have a dear friend, just called him the other day. Man, what Jesus Christ has accomplished in that family. He happens to be a radiologist. Delightful Christian couple on a board of a church in the East. And, man, they were literally pouring sulfuric acid on their relationship as a couple. He's a radiologist. He moves in this realm. She's a homemaker. She moves in this realm. Man, he could care less about the home. She could care less about radiology. In fact, I used to kid him for years. I think she thought the radiology meant listening to radios all day. But she was mighty interested in the Duncan Fife furniture that listening to radios produces. And one day, and it's a little hard, you know, when your real close friends ask you for some counsel. One day in conversation, I said to her, hey, why don't you drop down to the hospital someday? You know, when I go to this area, I spend every available time with this guy at the hospital. I'm absolutely fascinated by what this guy does. Well, she finally screwed up enough courage and went down, and I'll tell you, by 2:00 in the afternoon, she was out on a stretcher in one of the recovery rooms. And when she finally came home that night, she knew why that guy walked in the front door and really wasn't interested in having a big conversation on a heavy subject. And she reversed her whole pattern of the meal so that he could come home and shower and take 20 or 30 minutes to get it together. But something else happened. She got sick, and he had to stay home with the three kids and get all of the meal. And man, that was a liberal arts education. Do you know what happened? See, in the process, they began to become more sensitive as to what the other person does, what their problems are, what their needs are. Well, let's add a fourth one. And that is, talk frequently with your Heavenly Father. The longer I'm in this, the more I am impressed with the fact that the finest way to develop your communicational system in a marriage is by developing your communication with the Heavenly Father. You see, we said before that this represents the Lord, this the husband, this the wife. And the dynamic of this relationship determines the dynamic of this relationship. If you want to get significant communication at this level, why not develop significant communication at this level? As an individual, as a partner. I'm waiting to screw up enough courage to ask a public audience for an honest response to this question. How many couples in this room? Don't raise your hand. How many couples in this room have a consistent prayer life as a couple? I'll tell you what my clinical experience convinces me. Very, very few. And the interesting thing is, I'm talking about a man who's a deacon and an elder in the church, calling him for prayer, you know, at the drop of the hat. And he scrapes the Milky Way, goes all around, reviews his theology, takes his tour of the mission field. I say, you pray with your wife? Well, no, I can't do that. Mary's spastic? Yeah. Why? Oh, I can't say it. Well, you can say it before 1,000 people and you can't say it before this woman? That's exactly what he said. One of the most significant things we've had in some of the conferences, the seminars that we've conducted in a little conference center we've developed in Tyler, Texas, is to see couples who come, married 12, 15, 22 years, for the first time in their marriage, get down on their knees together as a couple and talk to the Heavenly Father. And you know the interesting thing is, we begin to see absolutely phenomenal changes in the communicational system of the marriage. See, it's hard to get down on your knees as a couple to talk to the Lord and find it impossible to talk to each other. It was my privilege some time ago to lead one of the cowboys to Christ, to Savior. The man got into a Bible class that I conduct, and he grew. My, how wonderfully he grew. He's got a two-car garage, and he has this huge thing right across the garage with these letters. His wife thinks it's a football fraternity he belongs to. She can't figure why it takes him so long to get out of the car. You know what that stands for? Husband, love your wife as Christ has loved the church. And it takes him so long to get out because he comes home from practice and he drives into the garage and his headlights hit the sign. And he falls over the steering wheel and says, Lord, you're going to have to do it again.
That man made to me one of the most theologically perceptive statements I've ever heard in my life. He said to me one day, "Howie, I'm convinced I got the real disease." I said, "How do you know?" He said, "If the Lord can take a self-centered person like me,
all of my life built around his great big football hero,
and on the inside, I'm just like glass, and deliver me from myself, that's got to be the genuine item." Is he doing that with you? In the process of delivering you from yourself, are you still so hung up with yourself that you're really not free to flow into the life of your partner?
You see, it's not until the Lord liberates you from yourself that the Son shall set you free. You shall be free, John says. I mean really free.
Free to do what? Well, to get out of yourself and flow into the life of your partner, to the life of your children. Why don't you ask him to do that? Dear Father, thank you very much for this brief time that we're spending together in the seminar. We're very grateful to you for its provision. Very thankful that you brought us together. Very thankful for your patience as a teacher, confronting us once more with not only our responsibility, but your enabling grace to fulfill it. We ask our Father that we too may learn what it means to be delivered from ourselves and free to love others. Thank you for what you're going to do, because we come with great expectation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.